All right. Quick comment. As I was reading everybody's assignments from The Power of Two, and made me think of a real contrast, because I think that one of the key takeaways to me from the chapter is not so much two of what, but two of whom. And it's whom am I aligning with? And am I looking to God as like a little add-on to the two? Or is God or Jesus Christ the core of the two? And in my personal times, I've been reading through 1 and 2 Samuel. And you see the contrast between the two men, Saul, who looked like he had it all together, the man's man, everybody wanted him to be king, and he became king. And yet every time he got called on his mistakes or shortcomings, he made excuses. And then ultimately it led him to, near the end, he actually went and met with a fortune teller. And so you go, the power of two of what? Two of whom? So Saul and a fortune teller didn't end very well, to say the least. And then you look at David, and, you know, it's easy to look at David and, you know, pick apart all his shortcomings, because they're in scripture for us all to see and to read about. And, you know, we can really pick him apart. And yet the thing I see in David, and I know what Pat always is saying and teaching, is, you know, the measure of a man is how fast he gets off of it. And with the proper alliance, we get off of it really fast. So when Nathan came to David, David made no excuses. He didn't blame the woman. He didn't say, well, if that woman didn't do this or didn't that, or she didn't flaunt herself at me. He made no excuses. When Nathan said, David, thou art the man, David said, I've sinned. To me, that's the difference. When a true ally comes, and then the cord of God was in with Nathan and with David. And you see, he got off it really quick. Now, there was hell to pay, so to speak, for David, and there was consequences to, you know, to his sin. But at the same time, he got off of it. He got back. And what did he do? He got back to work. he forsook it. You read Psalm 51, you can see his confession. If you ever want to read David's confession, read Psalm 51. And then he got back to work. I mean, he had stuff to do, and as king, and he got back to it. So to me, that was the difference. You see just such a stark difference between the two, because you see both of their sins. You see Saul's sin, you see David's sin. And then you see one made excuses, and one just faced it. So anyway, I just kind of wanted to say that, because that's, to me, the power, you know, in my own business. It was easy to set God aside and to not accept his interventions when I had opportunities, and fight against it and make excuses. But then when it came a time where it was just like, John, there's no more excuses, and I owned it, then God could really do something and do something special. Anyway, so that's it for this morning. That's my comments from assignments and last week, when the power of two. And to me, it really comes down to a lot. Two of whom? Anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for opportunity to be together. We thank you for the opportunity to think about these things, consider them, to learn, to listen, and to grow as CEOs. And Lord, as we get into this chapter 19 today, praying for what you already have, we just pray you would just be leading, guiding, and directing the teaching and the time. And Lord, we'd be just setting aside what we think is more important than this time right now, so that we can listen, learn, we can be led, we can be taught, and we can be inspired to be better than our best. We thank you for this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Okay. A couple of scriptures just came into my mind when Pat was going through that, and I just think when he read 2 Corinthians 12, and God says His power, His dunamis, His dynamite is made perfect in our weaknesses, and that's the really frailties. In James 1, or I'm sorry, not James 1, Matthew 6, he just says, stop worrying about tomorrow. Today's got enough trouble of its own. Take care of what you have. And I think that Pat said, tend to what you, he Pat put it this way in the beginning. He said, tend to what you have. Stop worrying about growth. Stop worrying about you got to do this, you got to do that. Tend to what you have. And I know that's what I had to learn. I had to learn that. I learned to tend and take care of what I had. And as I took care of what I had, God brought the work, He brought the business, He brought the increase. And it was always on His time, His path, His perfect timing. And I always loved the illustration of the treasure chest. Just always speaks to me of everything that's in there. And what are those gifts that I've just kind of like buried in the corner? The things I need to be burying in the corner are my shortcomings. And the things I need to be getting out are the gifts. And to use those things, Kurt, and use them. Anyway, so now let's get out. And as we go into our day, let's pray. Father, we again thank you for this morning. And we thank you for the thought of the original blueprint, being better than our best, tending to, and taking care of what we have. Yeah, we don't, a farmer doesn't go out and rip plants out of the ground, but or a gardener, but they tend to them and take care of them and feed them and water them, and growth happens. And we thank you, Lord, that you're the one who gets the increase. And the Lord, as we are in your word and in your scripture and praying, and we can allow you get the increase and the growth. We just pray that you would be getting that in our lives. And Lord, that as we are willing to tend to what we have, as we're willing to thank you every day for the many gifts that you've provided, praying for what we already have and tending to these things. We commit this day to you now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.